Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
Hey everyone, I'm back. Actually, I'm Bock. That is a terrible joke, but I had to do it at least once. What's going on? It is Dan Bock, Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. I've been out for the last week or so, a little family vacation, little FanDuel basketball championship, but happy to be talking daily fantasy once again here on Roto Grinders and the Fix Podcast. Again, thanks to FanDuel for putting their name on this very show. And a lot of stuff to talk about. FanDuel, part of it, simply because we've got some new things rolling out there this baseball season that caught certainly me a little bit off guard. I didn't realize it was going to be happening. So I've got to give my opinions on that. We've got a little bit of a schedule change on DraftKings in terms of the slate that they set up for tonight. There's been some reaction to that, and we will discuss that. Also, we'll get on the NBA slate tonight. Pretty solid, eight-game/six-game slate that we have. So all that's going to be going on here on the podcast. Thanks so much for listening, downloading, and subscribing over there on iTunes. Leave us a little nice review. That helps us out a good bit when you do that. Before we get into that, though, I got some housekeeping I want to take care of here real quick in terms of stuff we have going on at RG because I've been gone for a while. Let's first start off with the MLB premium content that we have on Roto Grinders. We just launched last night our premium offerings, and they are absolutely loaded up for you. So you're not going to want to miss out. We have it set up either by monthly, or you can do it by season, and you know, we've got a whole pinned forum on the top of RG, so you don't need me to go through all of it, but I'll tell you what, super comprehensive. We've got live shows, we've got, you know, JM to Win is back, we've got STL Cardinals, Notorious. I mean, it's just loaded up with huge, huge things, so check that out. I think it's the best bang for your buck you're going to find, and all of the premium content offerings over across all of DFS. So check that out, and it's going to be spectacular. One thing we are doing in terms of the media side of things, and this is kind of my boat, so had to make the call on this, is the Rotonomics shows that Cheese and JM do, we're actually going to make those premium. They'll be free the first go-around, so week two, we're going to be doing one that will be a free show, but after that, those are going to be premium exclusive to people who are subscribers at RG, so definitely check that out. That's some of the best video content we do, and it was funny, last year people were like, I can't believe you're giving this away free. Well, you couldn't believe it, now we're not. So you're going to get one freebie here to start the year, but otherwise that's going to be under the premium tag. So definitely check that out. I think $25 right now, but it's going to be jumping to right around $30 here once the season gets rolling. And hey, you know what? We've got some awesome, awesome players, contributors here at RG, and hopefully you check that out if you're going to be grinding baseball. And then I need to quickly, you probably heard about it last week, but I'm going to get on it again. The Tour Junkies promo that we're running. If you haven't signed up at Fantasy Draft yet, there's no excuse for it because this is arguably one of the best promos that we've done. Basically, you go through our link. We've got a pinned post over on the forum, and you basically go in, make that first deposit, and you get, I guess you could say, one ticket into the drawing, which is going to send somebody to Augusta National. That's right, for practice rounds, dinner, all that good stuff, airfare and hotel, all paid for, drinks, dinner. It's going to be an awesome time. And so you make that deposit, you got one entry, and then you put an entry into their golf GPP, their big golf GPP this week, and then you get five additional entries. And I think the golf GPP is like $25 buy-in. So deposit $25, play in that tournament, and you could have six shots at potentially going to Augusta National. So again, details out there in our forum, and that is one of the toughest tickets to find, certainly one of the toughest hotel rooms to find, and I'm jealous that I can't go. I really want to go. It's Augusta. I need to make the voyage at some point in time. But if you can do it and have it paid for by the good people over at Fantasy Draft, then you should. So that promo, this is kind of the last week for it because, of course, Augusta gets rolling next week. So definitely go over there and make that deposit. Go through that link, though, on RG. Otherwise, you're not going to be eligible for it. So definitely pumped for that. All right, so that's what we got in terms of the promotion. Let's get to the news. And there's a lot to talk about. And we're going to start with the news centering around FanDuel, and this one came as a little bit of a surprise to me, but the press release dropped yesterday, and FanDuel will be moving to late swap for this MLB season. Now, they also are keeping non-late swap sites, or slates, but by the early indication of this, barely, because I'm looking at the setup that they have for opening day, the Monday slates, and it's a fairly paltry non-slate or non-late swap slate, considering the squeeze is at $1,000, the Grand Slam is at $500, where the Grand Slam is $175,000 in a late swap slate, and the squeeze tournament is $100,000 in the late swap slate. So a very paltry non-late swap offering that they have. Now, let's get into why this is happening. Is this good? Is this bad? And to each their own, of course, on this, but I'm just going to state my opinion on it. I'm a little bit surprised that they kind of went this route. Simply because I don't really see the long-term benefits of doing it, certainly in a game like baseball. And it almost, you know, I've always kind of been under the feeling of maybe some of these decisions they're making are independent of whether, you know, the future potential merger is going to happen. But this is one thing that I look at, and it feels like almost is happening because the potential merger is going to happen, because I can't really figure out why they felt for Major League Baseball late swap was necessary. Now, I do understand there are some, split slates where you've got early games starting and you might not have lineups for late games. But in terms of the pure late scratch, per se, that we have for NBA, you don't really have that for Major League Baseball. And also Major League Baseball, where if you roster somebody who doesn't play, you can still win. Where in NBA, if you roster somebody who doesn't play, you can't win. You're probably saying, damn, what are you talking about? How can you win? Well, even the best players, even the most chalky plays in Major League Baseball can give you a bagel. You know, Mike Trout can go 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts on a given day. That can happen. So there's so much variance position to position. The scoring is just obviously very different. But you can survive it. In NBA, you can't survive it. And my biggest frustration by adding late swap is two things. First off, again, it's just the complete same thing we already have at DraftKings. The same reason I was against DraftKings getting rid of late swap is the reason why I'm against FanDuel adding it. Because I like to have options, and I think it's better for players to have options for what they want, because there's a lot of people who would rather set it and forget it when it comes down to daily fantasy. They want to build their lineup and then they want to be done with it. At 7 o'clock each and every night, I built my lineup. I don't have to follow things. And in baseball, certainly it's less of an issue, but there's a different component to baseball in terms of late swap that I think is extremely, extremely valuable to do if you want to be the highest or have the highest EV as a daily fantasy player. If you want to have the biggest edge, there's things that you have to do. And I'm going to talk about those in just a moment. But really not having, you know, differences between the two sites, I don't think is a good thing, especially when it comes to late swap, non-late swap. So I'm disappointed by that. And same way I was when DraftKings decided to take away for hoops. And I'm not, you know, my personal preference is non-late swap. I've got a wife. I've got a kids. I grind these games all day long. I do research all day long. You know, come 7 o'clock, I'm happy to have my research end. And I know there's a lot of people who are in the same boat as me. Maybe they don't research all day, but you can definitely look at the demographics, and I'd be willing to guarantee you that more people who have wife, kids, other responsibilities are much more likely to be happy with late swap as or non-late swap as opposed to those who don't have those, who might be single, who have more time on their hands to do things all night and afternoon long. But for those that fit my demographic, you know, my preference is always going to be non-late swap. Now, FanDuel didn't get rid of it altogether. But like I mentioned in the opening, the tournaments they have right now are very, very paltry. And if they're going to be at that size, then I don't know why they even bothered to offer it. Now, I'm going to throw one addendum out here because there's one thing that can kind of change my mind on this. And because opening day is unique. It's unique in the sense of it's a long slate and you've got games starting early. You've got later games we might not have lineups for. It is the ideal lineup or the ideal slate to have late swap without having full information. So my addendum to this whole thing is if come the 7 o'clock slates, the days where, 95% of the games start at 9 o'clock, the first games of the day start at 9 o'clock, and even the late games usually by 7 o'clock, and by the late games, we usually have those lineups already by 7 o'clock. Maybe every now and then Walt Weiss won't get it out in time, but more times than not, those lineups are already out. If those slates are all going to be non-late swap, and those are going to be the marquee tournaments, or if they're going to be 175K and then the late swap are going to be 500, then I'm more interested. Then it makes a little bit more sense to me. But the biggest reason why I'm just don't want it to be the centerpiece, the main way that they run their tournaments, is the edge that it provides people, especially in cash games, also in tournaments, to change the makeup of their lineups as the night goes on. And that's the huge, huge advantage that people have, staying on top of things. And it's something that, yes, it's a skill game. We don't want to take that away. But I don't think that's something that I think as a player, I want to be at that big of a disadvantage of. Because I don't have the time for it. I've got the wife, I've got the kids, and there's a way to play this game where I can be at less of a disadvantage than everybody else. And what I'm talking about is being able to evaluate your lineup versus your opponents and seeing, okay, how can I either make up ground or how can I block them from winning? And you're kidding yourselves if you don't think the top players in the industry do this. But a perfect example, and I had this conversation with STL Cardinals last night on XM, was Clayton Kershaw. Let's say, Clayton Kershaw's pitching in the late game here today. You look at your lineup and your hitters have sucked. You look at your opponent's lineup, they've got a good number of points. And then you look to the late games and, oh, they've got about 12,500 left. So you can pretty much predict that they've got Clayton Kershaw going in the late games. Well, a savvy player will look at that and say, okay, well, there's no way I can make up ground by keeping Clayton Kershaw in my lineup. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come off of Clayton Kershaw and use a different pitcher in the late slate. And hopefully it's a way for me to make up ground. That is absolutely what the top players are doing. They're evaluating their lineups, especially in those head-to-head and three-man games, and finding how they can optimize their lineup to have a chance at winning and cashing. Same thing happens in tournaments. Maybe you get off to a slow start with your bats, and you want to try and go a pitcher route, and you know that there's major chalk out there. You've got them in your lineup, and you say, eh, you know what? I'm going to get off the chalk and give myself an actual chance of winning. Because if your hitters aren't good or aren't great, and you know that there's probably people with better hitters that have the same pitchers as you, what's the optimal strategy? Switch to lower-owned pitchers and hope those top guys tank and those lower-owned guys have big nights. It's, you know, not always going to work out for you, but it's going to give you a chance. Whereas before, it's not going to give you a chance. And that kind of strategy is something that I feel like I'm not going to be able to keep up on. And it's something that I think 95 to 99% of the people, or let's put about 95% of the people are not going to keep up on, but those top 5%, which people always talk about and say, like, you know, shouldn't we be making things for the 95% and not the top 5%? Well, I think adding late swap is something that helps that top 5% much more than it helps the 95%. And it's not necessarily about swapping guys out who might not be in the lineup or trying to avoid a weather delay. I'm completely just talking about the manipulation of lineups. And And when I say manipulation, it's not like they're doing anything illegal or unethical. It's all about players that you have left, but, you know, making the optimal swaps late in games. And that's something that most people are not going to do, and it's just going to give a larger edge to the top players. So that is my disappointment and where I'm a little bit discouraged by the decision to do it. But again, if we see the Tuesday slate on FanDuel, and all the marquee events are non-late swap because most of the games start at the same time, then I'll kind of take it back because I can live with it in certain situations. But when you look, because let's face it, you don't have all the information you need to build your lineup sometimes when games start at noon. I get that. Totally get that. And the more information we have, maybe the better off it is. But in terms of making those optimal game theory swaps, that's the only advantage that I think having late swap really has in Major League Baseball, especially when games start at 7. So we'll see what happens when those day two tournaments drop on FanDuel to see which ones they have. But if they're going to roll them out like they did, then I would just say you're better off getting rid of it altogether. So I don't see a big point and having it set up like the way you did. And here's the kind of surprising thing, too, was, you know, if they obviously now have the ability to add and detract late swap. They did it for baseball. They added it to their soccer product, which, by the way, I don't play daily fantasy soccer, but I heard was an absolute must. But at this point in time, what do you have to lose by adding them to NBA games here for the last 2 weeks of the season? Again, I'm not super in favor of late swap because I like my day to end. But if there was ever a time where you could say, okay, well, we'll try out some late swap tournaments, some late swap cash games for NBA, now's the time to do it. Just roll it out there. DraftKings doesn't have it. Why not? Why not just include it? You could say, well, it's the final 2 weeks, blah, blah, blah. But if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. That's kind of my thought process on this. So that's where I come out on late swap on FanDuel. Now, I'll talk about something that I thought they did really well, and I think this is something that was smart, and I'm excited to see the context that it happens, and that's their FanDuel mix-up. And basically, we've seen this with NBA this season at a few different junctures where they added some changes to the way that the slates were set up, where they moved all the centers to shooting guard, and then all the shooting guards to center, so therefore you have to pick two centers, and you only get one shooting guard. Or there was a night where they made you take Boogie Cousins at center. You know, they basically, you know, mixed it up. You know, they changed the way the player pool was set up. I don't know, they could potentially do that with the salary cap as well. But this, I think, is a great idea, because the problem, you know, I realize the sites are in the business to make money, and the and we'll get to, you know, bastardizing slates here potentially in a minute. But I don't think adding these mix-up slates does that whatsoever. If anything, it gives the revenue to rake a different type of game within the same slate, which I have zero problems with, because I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be creative. If I'm FanDuel, you know, imagine if they set up a slate where they moved the outfielders to the pitcher spot and the pitchers to the outfield spot, and you had to pick three pitchers and just one outfielder. Like, that completely would change up the entire makeup of a slate. It would be completely different build than you would have on your regular main slate. And it would allow people to kind of play multiple slates on the same given day and within the same slate, which I think is awesome. I'm really excited about that concept. Doing NL only, AL only, you know, tighter salary cap, looser salary cap. You know, they're really limitless in what they can do. And I'll still stand by it. Like, I don't think it takes away from the main slate, because let's face it, most people are just going to play the main slate. But there's going to be days out there where people want to do something different, or the high volume players, even higher, who try to get as much action as they can down on a given day. Well, this gives them the avenue of playing multiple slates within the same slate. And I can tell you right now, the high volume players absolutely love that. And I'm excited about this prospect of what is gonna what these different mix-up games are gonna be. And I hope they don't hold back. I hope they don't make them simple. I think they can have a lot of diversity there in terms of how they do this. You know, move the third baseman to the outfield position. We got to pick three third basemen on a given day. I know there's some limitations in terms of what they can do, just based on the engineering of the site. But I hope they do their best to make this, you know, as creative as possible. And I think it's good for the site, allows them to rake more games, and it's definitely no drawback for the player at all, and kind of allows us to have, you know, fun slates. I mean, I remember last year there was A-Rod's last game, and they, you know, they dropped his salary to whatever his number was. Was it 23 or something? I don't remember exactly. 31, whatever. And everybody was like, oh my goodness, like, they screwed up A-Rod's salary. But it was fun, you know, and baseball, which is a long grind, like, having these fun little aspects to change things up is a good thing. When Kiki Hernandez had a $13 salary, now that wasn't intentional, but that was fun. That added a real element of game theory. Like, do we play this guy, even though he's going to allow us to roster everything else, but know the variance of baseball, and he's going to be 80% owned? Like, it was really fun to kind of look at things differently. And now if they offer these mix-up slates more often, we're going to be having even greater opportunities to do those things. So I'm pretty pumped for it. So that was really good by FanDuel. And that should be something that we see as the year goes on. They added the friends mode, which is great if you want to play those private contests with your friends. And the MLB scoring, this came out like a week prior, but basically the wins will go from 12 points to 6 points, but then they're adding 4 points for a complete game. So here's the big thing that comes out of this is it just basically raises the floor of the top flight pitchers, because the big variance factor for pitching was the win. And it always sucked, you know, paying $12K for Clayton Kershaw. He pitches his ass off, but the team doesn't get any runs for him, and he doesn't get those 12 points for a win. Now, he pitches his ass off like he does every single time. His team doesn't score runs, but guess what? He's still going to get you 4 extra points instead of 12 for a quality start. And that's something that I'm okay with, as long as you know how to interpret it. It's not a big deal to me. But if anything, if you're playing cash games, just more incentive. Because before, you could look at it and be like, okay, I'm not going to start Kershaw tonight. Maybe he gets blown up, doesn't get the 12 points. But I'll take the crapper pitcher here today, who's got lots of run support, who can maybe get to those 12 points. But now with Kershaw guaranteeing 4 and the win only getting you 6, It really lessens the incentive, I think, at least in cash games. Tournaments, always a different animal when you talk about ownership levels and whatnot. But in cash games, it's just more reason that you're going to be using super chalk at starting pitcher. In my eyes, that's the way that I'm looking at it off the bat on FanDuel for baseball. So there you go. That's the changes coming, and it'll be interesting to see as the year goes on how things go on with the mix-ups, with the late swap slates versus the non-late swap slates. So I really hope they dictate which version of the big tournaments is going to be late swap or non-late swap based on what time that slate goes off. I'm hoping for that. Do I think that's going to happen? Honest opinion, no. I think they're probably just going to move non-late swap marquee, late swap marquee, non-late swap not. I hope I'm wrong, and we'll find out in a couple days, but that's my takeoff on it. Now, as for something that we see on DraftKings today, we saw it happen, I think it was a week or so ago. They kind of labeled it as a one-off, but whatever. Basically, what it was is DraftKings tonight, 8-game slate, 6 of them start at 7 or 8 o'clock, and then you got 2 games that start at 10 o'clock tonight. And rather than having an 8-game slate, they decided to make it a 6-game slate and a 2-game slate. Am I a fan of this? Not really. I have a little bit less of an issue with it when you've got 10 games, 12 games, and you want to split something up, because those things are a pain in the ass to kind of deal with. Is, you know, when you get over 10 games for NBA, it's a nightmare to kind of handicap that. If you wanted to take out the late games, doesn't bother me. But my worry is that at like what level does it begin to worry me? And for me, you know, 8 games is kind of right on that line. Like, if they had a 6-game slate and decided to cut it back to 4 and 2, I would be absolutely furious. Because, you know me, I would say the more games, the better. But when you get below 5, the overlap gets a little bit ridiculous for me. And every game matters in that. But tonight, for example, some of the best scoring games that we potentially have on the slate are going to be the 2 late games, and they're not going to be included in the main slate on DraftKings. I think the biggest... I mean, I don't know who's asking for this, number one. Like, I have a hard time, very hard time, you know, because they say we make decisions based on feedback from our users. I have an extremely hard time believing that people were emailing support saying, man, I really want you to get rid of those 2 games as starting at 10 o'clock. Like, are we to believe that this was something that was asked for by players on DraftKings? My feeling is no, because I'm pretty well known in the industry. People love to air their grievances and issues with me. And I don't think I have ever heard somebody say, like, I don't want these late games included. Like, it's too much to stay up till 1 o'clock. I've never heard that feedback, ever. I mean, I suppose it's possible, but it's hard for me to believe there was that many people who levied that feedback, was like, okay, the public wants it, we gotta do it. Could be wrong on that, you know? I could absolutely be wrong. I am not their customer service reps, I don't have any access to that, but anecdotally, from my perspective, doesn't feel like this is something that people really ask for. Now, I also sat here and thought to myself, what's the benefit of it? What's the benefit of taking those 2 late games out? And for me, the lone benefit that I can see, because initially I think people are like, well, it gives them the opportunity to rake 2 different slates. Well, guess what? They can include those 2 games into the main slate and still run a 2-game late slate. They've been doing it all year long, and that's fine. If you want to play the 2-game late slate, great. Go for it. You have the opportunity to do that. But to take games out of the main one, I'm trying to figure out the reasoning for that. Now, if this meant that they would pay out those games before the late slate started, and therefore they've got, you know, because it's all about churn. It allows them to churn rake from the early slate so they can play in the late slate. Great. You know, you got paid out and then you can play again. It's kind of like the whole Sunday Monday thing, which I fully admit I was wrong about. They got that right. They absolutely got that right. Paying out Sunday was the smart thing to do. I'm not sure that I see the benefit of this because I don't see the churn really happening. I don't think you're paying out the games that start at 7 and 8 o'clock before the 10 o'clock games start. In fact, I know that's not going to happen. Those games aren't necessarily even going to be over. So that's not the reason for it. The only thing that I can conceivably think why they would do it is they look at it and say, you know what, this time of year, there is so much news that breaks late. We're getting bombarded with people frustrated about late scratches. Well, here's two less games, four teams that people have less worries about in terms of potentially being late scratched. That's really the only thing that comes to mind. Is it a good enough reason to do it? It's debatable. I think it's a good enough reason to do it when it doesn't bastardize the slate. You know, when it's a 13-game slate, you send four to the late game. I got less of an issue with that. Eight, it's tight. Would I rather have an 8-game slate than a 6-game slate? Sure would. Would I rather have a 6-game slate than a 4-game slate? Abso-freaking-lutely. Like, there's no debate on that one. So they're, like, right on the line right now. But that really, for me, is, like, the only true benefit we see. And, you know, I love Eric Crane. He's a good buddy of mine, awesome contributor here at RG. He tweeted out, again, that, you know, there's a lot of people who might like a 3.5-hour sweat instead of an 8-hour sweat. Again, I don't buy that. I don't think that's feedback that I've ever had from people about playing daily fantasy sports was, man, it's just too long to wait. You know, I don't get that. It still should be about building a great game. And I think taking games away, I think it hurts the game sometimes. And again, they're right on that line today. But, you know, let's put it this way. If they offered late swap, let's ask this question. If they offered late swap, DraftKings, would they still make this change? Maybe that's the question that we need Aguiar or Birnbach or Robbins or Kalish, one of the guys over at DraftKings, can answer. If you still had late swap, would you still be taking away the last two games of the night? If the answer to that is yes, well, then I'm just an idiot and I have no idea why they did it. No clue whatsoever. If it's legitimately to save people from the frustrations of late scratches that we get in the end of March, I guess it makes a little sense. And considering they didn't do it all season long, maybe that's the reason for it. But do me a favor, just don't promise me this. Don't go any less than this. You know, if there's a 6-game, you know, 8 to 6, like I say, I can deal with it. Don't go from 6 to 4. Don't go from 4 to 2, whatever you do. Please, please don't do that. So we'll see what comes. I don't think it's that big of a deal right now, but that's kind of my takeoff on it. So if you're playing DraftKings tonight, last two games of the night, don't expect to use those players. All right, so that's the news. Caught us up on everything. Let's look to some NBA here tonight. We're going to use FanDuel as our point of reference. And pretty solid slate of games. We've got, what, four games tonight with four games with over 220, another game at 215. So we got Bucks Hornets 203, Timberwolves Pacers 208, Suns Hawks 215, Heat Pistons 201, Sixers Nets 221. Oh boy, what a barn burner that is. How is Brooklyn favored? Like, I know Philly's not good, but Brooklyn favored by 3? Interesting. Let's see. We got Houston and Golden State. Should be a fun one. 234. Little surprised that one is not into the 240s, to be honest with you. We'll see if that one jumps. I really thought that that one would be higher because it seems like most games with the Rockets right now are around 230. You add Golden State to the mix. I thought it would go higher than that. Maybe we'll see if that trends up. Nuggets in Portland, 226. And then Wizards and Lakers tonight at 226. No spread over 10. Washington only favored versus by 9 versus the Lakers on the road. So a really great slate of games. Again, using FanDuel as our point of reference here today. And we'll break it down game by game here for you. And let's start with Milwaukee and Charlotte. Again, this isn't a game I am overly excited about. We've got 203 total. That means that, you know, you've got all these other big ones out there. I don't really see the point necessarily going here today. Some guys who look a little bit mispriced maybe for me. Nick Batum, you know, he returned from, I guess it was injury that he had a couple of days ago, and been pretty good. 39 fantasy points that last game against Phoenix. The matchup versus Milwaukee is not great here today. Number 6 in the DVP against shooting guards, but Batum is a guy who I just feel is like a $7,300 player, and we're getting him for $6,700 on FanDuel today. I think it's a pretty straightforward build. I think there's a lot of mispriced guys maybe on FanDuel that we'll get to here today based on guys who are out. But I don't hate Batum at that number. He is the one guy that stands out to me. And maybe a little bit of Chris Middleton as well at $6,300. You know, took 17 shots that last game versus Chicago and really didn't shoot the ball well at all. 6 of 17, you know, from the field that day, but still finish with 32 fantasy points. So if he goes 10 for 17, you're looking at a 40 burger for him. Now, a little bit outlier at 4 steals, but he had 3-2-3 the 3 games before that. So still feels maybe just a little bit too cheap there at $6,300. Besides that, there's not a lot that I love today. Antetokounmpo, kind of an up and down at 10-3 today. He is a pivot potentially for you off of the James Harden play tonight. Harden is lukewarm numbers this against Golden State over the last couple of years, but certainly a different player this year than we've seen in the past. It just feels like how aggressive is he going to get? You know, Chicago, 14 shot attempts, and then the 3 games prior, 22, 22, 21. Obviously has 60 fantasy point upside, but in a lowish total, I'm probably not going there today. This is pretty much a fade game for me. Let's move on to Timberwolves and Pacers today. Monte Ellis drew the start the other day. Didn't necessarily do a lot with it, but did play 28 minutes, 22 fantasy points. He is, you know, I think there's a lot of value on the slate today. We probably don't need to play Monte Ellis. I expect his ownership to be pretty low, but he's going to get heavy run in this game. Another one at a 208 total that I'm not necessarily in love with today. Miles Turner's been playing really well lately. 6.7 is his salary. 42, 36, 32, 31. Let's see, over on DraftKings, that's where he was a better value. He's actually got the same price. So I actually think we've got more meat on the FanDuel bone than the DraftKings bone today. There you go. You knew I had to get that reference in tonight. Paul George here at 8.6, you know, fair and balanced lineups. He could work for you. Not a bad defender there in Andrew Wiggins, so certainly not a guy that I think we have to push into our lineups. If he scores you the 48, 49, you'll take it. But if he gets you into the 30s at 8,600, maybe not good enough for you. Let's see. Last game versus Minnesota, he went for 43 fantasy points. Played really well that day, 12 for 22. From the field. So if you're in the team BVP, there's a reason to look to Paul George. Karl Anthony Towns, fine if you can make him work at 10-5. It's a big salary for him. Coming off a real bad game against Portland, but that was a back-to-back on the road, really tough environment. They've had plenty of days to rest. Now they're you know, certainly on the road again at Indiana, but I feel like this is a better spot. And you know, other road games, what, 42 against New Orleans, 42 against Miami, 37 against Boston. I don't have the home road splits right in front of me, but I'd be willing to bet a little bit better at home than on the road. But I expect him to rebound a little bit off that game against Portland. That was a tough spot going to that arena in a back-to-back. So expect him to rebound. We got him projected at 45. I think that's fine. He could probably tick that up just a little bit as well. DVP 17 for Indiana against them. Andrew Wiggins tonight at 7-2. I just can't play Wiggins over 7K. Yeah, he can score some points, had that monster game against the Lakers, but just doesn't fill up enough categories, and if the shot doesn't go in, you're pretty much hating yourself by the end of the night. Name I got to throw out there, read Andy Means' column today on DraftKings, and he really likes Chris Dunn as a potential punt play. Again, I've been out of the country for the last week, so I was like, Chris Dunn? Then you look into it a little bit, and playing time really up for him. Last two games, 27 and 32 FanDuel points. 4,300 on FanDuel's probably a bit more pricey, but 3,300 on DraftKings, that's a risky type play that I'd be willing to make over there. So he looks more like a DK play for us here in this game. And that's it. CJ Miles, Ricky Rubio. Rubio's finally kind of priced where you'd kind of expect him to be. Certainly it has upside, but at 7,700, that's kind of a hard pass for me. All right, let's go to the next game. This one should be filled with fantasy goodness. We're talking about Atlanta and Phoenix. Game total of 215. Atlanta favored by 7, but Atlanta's banged up. Paul Millsap isn't going to play, and Thabo's going to be out probably. So Taurean Prince was the guy who got the big-time playing time against Brooklyn, and he lit it up. Now, you can say that's against Brooklyn. Is he going to do it again? Tough to say, but I'll say this much. He's been pretty good when he gets minutes, and when you take some usage off of the floor with those guys, he looks like he could be a prime target to be chalked today on FanDuel because he's only 4,800 or 3,800. He's a whole 1,000 more on DraftKings, and when you see that pricing differential, you got to jump on it on FanDuel. So 3,800, a night where you've got James Harden, you've got Steph Curry, you've got Karl-Anthony Towns, Nikola Jokic. There's guys that you can pay for. No doubt in my mind that Taurean Prince, he's probably going to be like 80% owned in cash games here today. But there's a lot of guys that we can go to here. Ersan Ilyasova, you know, really he's had a rough go of it in Atlanta, but that's kind of changed the last few games. He's gotten over 30 minutes each of the last two, went for 30 and 24. Now, big outlier last game, 18 rebounds. I don't think we're going to see that again. But I also think that he's probably going to shoot better than 3 for 14, 0 for 5 from the three-point range. So for what he won't make in rebounds, I think he can make back in scoring because he only finished with 9 points that day. I think he's squarely in play again, 4,800. DraftKings, he's 1,200 more. So definitely be using that kind of tool in our projections that gives you the FanDuel versus DraftKings salary difference. It can make a world of difference in finding that big value. Another guy who doesn't seem priced correctly on FanDuel is Tyler Ulis at 6K. He's 900 cheaper there than on DraftKings. And then when you factor in the horrific defense of Dennis Schroeder, 24th in the DVP for Atlanta against point guards, Ulis should be just fine today. We've got a very aggressive projection at 34 for him today. I think he can get there. I think maybe 32, 30 is probably a little bit better number. But even if you put him down to that, he is going to be a popular choice today. Again, game total at 215 here. Probably not playing the sauce today. I don't think the salary's right on FanDuel. There's better center options. And maybe one of those better options could be Dwight Howard tonight at 7.2. Now, salary's risen a little bit, but rightfully so. That means because he's had good games. And I think when you take out guys like Paul Millsap, that's going to mean more shots for him. We've seen him hit 12 shot attempts in two of the last three. He's been double figures in four of the last five. And that's unusual for him. So they're definitely kind of running the offense around him. And he should be able to keep it up in a high-paced game versus Phoenix. It's going to have a lot of shots, means more rebounds. We've got him projected today at 38 fantasy points. That's really aggressive, but if he gets you 38, you'll take it all day long at 7,200. I think he could be in store for another nice night. And, you know, this game's just filled with potential value plays. We've got TJ Warren at 6.4. I don't think we need to go in the middle tier here today, potentially at that small forward spot, but you know, he bounced back really nice against Charlotte. Shot attempts are up. Minutes are way up for him. He's been, 36 minutes or more in four of his last five games, so that's what you really like to see. He's not overpriced. I just feel like he's priced probably right today. A little bit more value on FanDuel, though. 800 more on DraftKings than FanDuel. And then Devin Booker, again, at 7,600. He's actually cheaper on DraftKings than on FanDuel. I wasn't around for it, but seeing that game against Boston, seeing the line for this one, 40 shots, 26 free throws, 91 fantasy points on FanDuel. Did he get 100 on DraftKings? Let's see. Did he get 100? No, 96 on DraftKings. So didn't make enough three-pointers, I guess. Obviously, that's going to skew things a good bit, and it jumped his salary a whole 1,000. He was at 6,500 before, but 6,500 was too cheap. Like, I think he's like a $7,200 player, maybe like a $6,900 player. So we're maybe overpaying for him a little bit, but we know he's going to play a pile of minutes, going to take a bunch of shots. So I don't hate him. Probably would prefer Klay Thompson here tonight for a little bit cheaper, but definitely not out of play by any stretch. Alex Len tonight, probably not a top target of mine at 5K, just too expensive. DraftKings 4,600, but he's center eligible only over there, so probably going to pass on him today. But a good game, lots of potential plays for us. All right, let's get to Miami and the Pistons. Ish Smith talking about chalk, another guy who's going to be it tonight. Drew the start last night for Detroit, played really well. Reggie Jackson was out altogether. If that happens again, which I expect it to, Ish Smith we can look at. Now, admittedly, this is a potential fade spot if you think the DVP rankings are going to hold up here. But with him starting, playing 30-plus minutes at under 5K, I think the risk is too low to be doing that. So I think at 4,500, play him in your cash games. Probably still a staple because he's going to get you a lot of guys in tournaments that you want. So yeah, 4,500, way too cheap. He's 5K on DraftKings, and that's absolutely in play there too. The other guys to look at, you know, Tobias Harris at 5,400. We've got him projected at 27 fantasy points. I think that's a little bit aggressive. He's hit that once over the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. So probably not a guy that I'm looking at. The bigs in this one are somewhat interesting. Drummond has played Miami incredibly well this year. I mean, to the tune of like 50 fantasy point games, like every time they faced. Let's see, it's 51 last time they played, Time before that, he went for 51. I think he went for 53. So he's over 50 in all three matchups. Does he get there again tonight? It's possible. And the good thing about this matchup is, you know, he and Whiteside are both going to be on the floor a lot. Now, here's the thing. Drummond's not a good defender, but Whiteside has not been able to take advantage of that matchup. So the price difference for me makes Drummond the play. You know, he's, what, $1,200 cheaper than Hassan Whiteside. But if you wanted to switch it up in tournaments, you could do that. But Drummond, he's really played well in this matchup. I'm glad that I didn't play last night. KCP, I'm glad I wasn't around for the last couple weeks. Although he had a couple of big games in the 19th and 21st, the last three for KCP have been really bad. 14, 11, and 9. The shots the last two games are there, though. 12 and 11 just weren't falling for him. I think he's fine in a GPP format to potentially go to today. But again, 202 total. We don't want too much exposure to anybody in this game, and that's why I'm going to kind of move on here to the next one, and that is 76ers and the Nets. Got to keep our eye on the Okafor news. If he is out today, Rashawn Holmes has really stepped up and played well. And how about this kid, Sean Long? His per-minute numbers have been incredible. 29 fantasy points in 23 minutes, 30 and 19, 20 and 14, even 16 and 11 against Orlando. So he's been on the floor. He's been productive. And I don't really see them bringing Okafor back here. So he's a punt option for you at center. I wish he was cheaper and maybe more on DraftKings today because he's 4,200 there, 45 over on FanDuel. And then Holmes on the flip side, 5,700 on FanDuel. He's actually over 6K over on DraftKings. So I don't think he's a core play at that price, but such a good matchup here versus Brooklyn that he might be. And he's been really, really solid lately when given minutes. This is going to be high tempo. This is going to be high scoring. Brooke Lopez looks really cheap here today at 6.7. We'll see what kind of minutes he gets here today. Should be all right. You know, they played the 24th, then the 26th, and now it's the 28th. So if he goes over 30 minutes, I feel like he could have a pretty good game here against Philadelphia. Let me see what he's done against them this year. 33 fantasy points in one matchup versus them this season. That's all I'm seeing here against Philly. So that's fine. I mean, the price is just really affordable on him at 6.7. 6,500 over on DraftKings, 30th DVP. So Brooke Lopez, not the worst play on the board today in a game that's sitting at a 220. Dario Saric, a lot of people were disappointed by him last game. He's been super solid since he's got that uptick in minutes. Shot wasn't falling. You know, there wasn't too much there that stood out as like, oh, you know, this is what we're going to start seeing. I mean, he took 15 shots, grabbed you 10 rebounds, which you love. The assist number's not great, but he's only scored 9 points. Normally, when he's in the mid-20s, that's when we're getting the production. This feels like a really good bounce-back spot for him. So I think Sarge at 7,300, if you can fit him in, isn't the worst option on the board today. Spencer Dinwiddie starting to pop a little bit in the projections at 3,500. I mean, numbers have been okay in 3 of the last 4 for that salary. I just don't trust Spencer Dinwiddie at all tonight. I'd probably, if I was going to go with a min salary punt in this game, it's probably not going to be Nick Stauskas because he just stinks. I'm probably just not going with anybody as a mid-salary punt in this game. There's just better punts a little bit higher. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson also popping in our projections. We've got him set at 25. And double-doubles in 2 of his last 3, over 30 in 3 consecutive. So he is probably going to be a somewhat popular play. The price has not risen to a point where he's unplayable on either site, 5,200 over on DraftKings. That's what I got in this game. Let's move on to the next one, and this is going to be a high-scoring one. It is Golden State. It is the Rockets, 234, close spread here. And did some StatMuse search. If you don't use StatMuse, pretty good little site for you. Should be free and kind of allows you to look at game logs, add in FanDuel, DraftKings points. And you looked at James Harden. Not great history here versus Golden State, and I'm not surprised by it. Klay Thompson's an excellent defender. I think he's a top 5% defender in the league, especially at the shooting guard position. So that makes sense. But this is a huge game. Like, you know, MVP ramifications for Harden. He, obviously, the team won, didn't play great in that game necessarily against Oklahoma City. But boy, everything feels like this is a perfect spot for Harden to get rolling here. He's 12-5, so we didn't really get much salary relief on him off of that, I guess we could call it dud for 41 points against OKC. Price remained the same. But there's enough value on this slate to really make him work for your lineup. So look for him to be a super popular play. We got Curry at 9-9, Clay at 7. Probably giving the edge to Clay today with the value that we have at that point guard position. And a guy like Ish Smith here today is going to take up one of those spots. So I like Curry today in GPPs if you want to stack this game up. And, you know, from the Houston side, you know, Lou Williams had that hell of a game last time out. He's so streaky, though. You know, you just don't know what Lou Williams you're going to get. I don't know what the Ryan Anderson status is for tonight. That certainly didn't hurt him at all because it moved Eric Gordon to the starting lineup, and that made Lou Williams like the top, you know, play in terms of scoring in that second unit. And it's funny, the guy who got the most run off of the Ryan Anderson injury the last game was Sam Decker. And it was funny, I was watching the game with Dinkmeyer, and we're watching this, and it seems like Sam Decker's all over the place. And we're like, man, who had the, you know, I wish I had the foresight of rostering Sam Decker. And then we looked at his line, and really wasn't that good. You know, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 15 fantasy points. So, tempo could be up, obviously could get a lot more run if Anderson is out today. Min salary, if you want to stack it up and you need a punt, you know, he can help you out in that category, but that's about it. Draymond Green against Houston tonight. 7.7 is his number. Last game was a dud for him against Memphis. Played pretty well the game before against Sacramento. Game logs against Houston this season for Draymond. 40 in the previous matchup and 53 in the game before that. So, yeah, Draymond Green looking pretty good tonight at under 8K. That's the price that I love to get me some Draymond Green. And then Trevor Ariza had that monster game last time out at 5-4. I'd rather have him than Patrick Beverley, I think, today. That still was an outlier. 9-for-11 shooting, not going to do that more times than not. So we've got his projection set at about 26. I think that's about a fair number. You could even take it up to 28, and I'd be okay with it. But okay at 5,400, but you know, got a little bit of a jump off that last game. So again, that's factored into the salary, but definitely an interesting matchup. Love me some Draymond tonight. This one should be good too. Nuggets and Portland, pretty close line, 226. And we've got the Jusuf Nurkić revenge game, of course, played for Denver. And I guess we could say the Mason Plumlee revenge game as well. Nurkić, super, super safe. I mean, 30 fantasy points or more in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. He's 6,700. Should probably be about 7,200. And that's like the number that I think we have on him. 7,500 over on DK. Like that feels right to me. Doesn't really feel right on FanDuel today at 67. So we've got definitely meat on the Nurkić bone. But he's a guy I like tonight for sure in this matchup. Lillard's been on another planet. Obviously struggled that last game, I think, a little bit versus the Lakers. Not terribly, though. I guess 42 he finished with, so still solid. 9,400, though. Man, that number is getting up there. He should be in a pretty good spot here at home, though, against Denver. It's a nice game. Very, very good game for him to potentially go off, and he's just been super steady here lately. So no risk in him tonight. Mo Harkless is down to 3.6K, but man, Mo Harkless is just not good. But this matchup, little bit more interesting. He did get 25 minutes against the Lakers last time out. I mean, they don't need him to score, and he doesn't really score. That is so cheap. If you need stars and scrubs, he is an option for you. You get a $500 difference on him on FanDuel versus DraftKings, which is a really good option. Lillard, by the way, on DK at 10-3. That's a little bit too pricey for my blood. Jokic at 10-3 as well. It's funny, he's priced up on FanDuel versus DraftKings. He's 9,400 over on DK. On FanDuel, you know, he obviously has that 60 fantasy point upside, but we'll be curious to see if Mason Plumlee gets any more run. I mean, that's the worry you have with Jokic. Going against Nurkić, you know, a guy they went against in practice a whole bunch. Kind of interesting to see how this one pans out. Wilson Chandler, Gallinari, really hard to get these guys right night to night. Chandler really did nothing against New Orleans in that last game. 9 fantasy points, destroyed a few lineups for me. So for that reason, might be a little bit more comfortable with Gallinari, who wasn't great in his own right. Probably just, you know, the Denver side is just probably a fade for me now that more people are healthy. Just not seeing the guy I'm comfortable with, especially tough environment on the road in Portland. Jokic in tournaments, but I don't think we can play him in cash games tonight. All right, last one of the night, Lakers and the Washington Wizards. This one should be a fun one, too, because it's a kind of semi-close spread considering the Lakers are involved here. So I'm looking at John Wall tonight at 10-2 on FanDuel. Bit pricey, but more expensive on DraftKings. So I feel like this is a spot for him to, you know, give you 50 fantasy points. I'll be surprised if he doesn't get there. And then D'Angelo Russell at 6-5. Last game wasn't great for him, but shots were what we'd like to see. 19 last game. So struggled versus Minnesota. Had those two real nice games against Cleveland, Clippers. We've got him set at 35 tonight. Maybe a little bit aggressive in that number, but I think there's upside in him for sure. Zubac at 4.4 on FanDuel. Still probably too cheap, depending on the minutes he's going to get. I think he's got 30 fantasy point upside. Washington pretty good versus the centers at the fourth rank in the season, but if you need a scrub at the center position, you could go there. Probably not going to make my cash games here today. Randall I love for tournaments because he's a guy who all over the map can give you 50 or give you 20 like we saw last game. So GPP play only, but I don't think he's overpriced at 6,900. If I'm playing cash today, I'd just rather go up and spend the extra 7,800, get Draymond Green, and feel like you can lock in 40 tonight. But I think Randall definitely has that upside. Our projection's pretty high in him at 35 today, but I don't think it's wrong. Bradley Beal at 7-8. Man, you know me. I'm just not a huge Bradley Beal guy, but I should be because, man, he can shoot the basketball, and he's doing a lot of the other stuff this season, rebounds, assists, and against the Lakers. You know, he played 43 minutes, though, in that back end of a back-to-back against Cleveland. But the good news is that was 3 days ago, so had plenty of time to rest, should be good to go here. Going to be pricey. We've got other options. You know, I didn't talk about McCollum, by the way. I really like his salary on FanDuel under 7K tonight. So I kind of rather save on a guy like McCollum who has similar upside at just a nice savings here tonight. So prefer to go him. Guys like Mahimi and Porter, I just don't trust, even though this is a solid game situation. Mahimi got going a little bit in that last game versus Cleveland, 27 fantasy points. At 56, I think he's in play for GPP because he's got upside to get you to the 30s tonight. And same with Markieff at 5.7. I don't trust either in cash, but if you want a late game stack and hope this one gets going, you could roll these guys. But give me Porter over Markieff if I'm going in this range here tonight. Bojan, no. Nance, not really for me. That pretty much sums it up. That's what we got today. Hey, busy podcast, a lot to catch up on. Thanks so much for waiting on me. I know a lot of people wonder, where's the podcast? Well, I'm sorry. I need to recharge those batteries. They are charged. I'm feeling good. Hopefully, the one thing that I've noticed too, you take some time off, you come back stronger, more focused. So hoping this leads to some good results here over the next week or so. But definitely take advantage of all those promos I talked about earlier this in the podcast. Our incentives with MLB are here. We've got the promo with the Tour Junkies. Make sure you check out their Shot in the Arm PGA product as well. That is tremendous. It's not expensive. It's like $6 a week, and there's always a nugget or two in there that you don't see, and they were on the money last week with their fades, which I love. You know, everyone talks about the players they like. Tour Junkies give you some players that they definitely don't like, and just having that information, very useful if you fade those guys. So did well with that. Not expensive, and those guys know their golf, so check them out. I'm out of here. Thanks so much for listening and subscribing. Leave us a review on iTunes. Be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Roto Grinders, Daily Fantasy Fix, Dan Bock saying good luck here this Tuesday night.